Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us great shalom have those who love his Torah and nothing will cause them to stumble. We're going to continue through our series of loving your neighbor. And this week, we're going to dive into some of the additional commands that we can find within the Torah where God is instructing us and telling us how to love our neighbor. And we're going to look and see how these things correlate with the concept and the idea of loving your neighbor as yourself, and how if we have a heart's desire to truly love our neighbor as we love ourselves and have a desire to do good unto our neighbor and not to do evil unto our neighbor, how we will find ourselves naturally doing these things and these concepts which we will read about this week. Okay, so we're going to start in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 9. It says, "Now when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest, nor shall you glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather the fallen fruit of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the afflicted and for the sojourner. I am Yahweh your God." So the first one we're going over is an instruction or a command that he is giving them on how he wants to harvest their land. And what he tells them is, "I want you to leave the corners of your field not touched. You are not to reap, you are not to harvest from the corners of your field. And also, as you are harvesting your field, if anything falls to the ground, you are to leave that which has fallen to the ground on the ground. You do not harvest that." Okay, so the idea and the concept here is that when they're going into their field, they're not going with a purpose to make sure to gather every single thing that they can gather out of their field. They're not to do a double check, a triple check, a very thorough investigation of their field when they harvest it, but they are to go out there and to harvest it, leaving the corners and leaving that which falls to the ground for the intent and the purpose. So those who are afflicted, those who are the sojourner or the stranger in the land, those who are traveling through your land, the afflicted being those who not have a land of their own, those who are poor, those who are needy, who do not have a field to go and reap from, to get food from. So they have this opportunity to where if they are hungry and they need to eat, they can go and they can work the corners of the fields for food. They can go and gather from the ground that which was left behind. So it's providing food for those who do not have a field to harvest of their own. So this was a way in which Yahweh was instructing them to love their neighbor. So when we think about this command, this is one that we need to look at what the heart of this command is. The heart of this is Yahweh is preparing them and instructing them that you are to look out for those who are in need. You are to look out for those who are not positioned financially as well as you are. So this is a command as we read it that we don't necessarily look at it in the concept of if I have a field, I need not to reap the corners of my field, but we are to look at the heart of it. And that is that we are to look out for our neighbor who isn't positioned as well as we are, who isn't as well off financially as we are, who are hurting and who are in need. And we need to reach out and help those who are in need. So by loving your neighbor, you're helping those who are in need. So let's look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. By this we have known love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. So here is John speaking about how if we have the love of God in us, if the love of God is abiding in us, then when we see our brother in need, our heart should not close towards our brother, but our heart should open towards our brother to help our brother who is in need. So just as they were instructed to leave the corners of their field for those who needed food to be able to go out and work a field, to be able to reap food and to harvest and to be able to eat, we need to look out for our brother who is in need. And we need to not close our hearts against them, but we need to be one who helps them. They were helping their brothers by not reaping their corners. So what we, as those, as believers, as children of God, those who are filled with the love of God, we should have a motivation inside of us to find a way to help our brothers who are in need. Whether it's just when someone comes to us and we see a need, we are willing to jump in and help out and help that person who is in need, not expecting something in return. The owners of these fields did not receive anything in return from the people who were able to come and harvest the field, to harvest from their field in order to eat. Now, we know that by walking in obedience to God's word, that God would bless them and he would bless their harvest and their harvest would multiply and there would be plenty by following his commandments and by loving their neighbors as he instructed them to. Okay. So number one, if we're loving our brother as we love ourselves, we don't close our hearts to them when they are in need. Because think about it. If you're in need, you're going to want somebody to reach out and help you. So this is one of those things that if you have the love of God in you, you're naturally going to have a desire to help others. Now let's look at Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 15. You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor defer to the great, but you shall judge your neighbor in righteousness. So part of loving your brother as unto yourself is that you love everyone the same, evenly. You do not show favorites towards one person or another based upon whether or not they are poor or whether or not they are rich. Do you want somebody to show partiality against you? Do you want somebody to favor somebody else over you because that person has more money than you? So this is the concept of loving your neighbor as unto yourself. You wouldn't want somebody to have partiality over a person over you because they have more money than you. So you're not going to turn around and show partiality towards somebody else because they are richer than the other. And the human nature and desiring to do something along those lines tends to fall into the idea and the concept that this person is rich, they have money, if I favor them, if I do this, maybe I will get more in return for my relationship or the favor that I'm showing them. I have more to gain from this person than I do from the one who has less. And this is also a concept that we actually see James talk about in the New Testament as well, the idea of not showing partiality. So even when it comes to judgment and rendering judgment, we don't show partiality based upon money. We don't show favoritism upon what we are willing to do for this person regarding the other person. We do not love the person who has more money over the person who has less. So let's look at James chapter 2 and verse 1. My brothers, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Yeshua Messiah as an attitude of personal favoritism. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in bright clothes, and there also comes a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one wearing the bright clothes and say, you sit here in a good place. And you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down by my footstool. Have you not made a distinction among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Is not the rich who oppress you and they themselves drag you into court? Do they not blaspheme the good name by which you have been called? If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin, being convicted by the law as transgressors. So, James says here in verse 4 is a very interesting statement. He says, have you not made a distinction among yourselves? So when we show partiality, we make a distinction among ourselves. And the thing that we are showing partiality over is the thing that we are judging. So we are judging a person based upon that which we are showing partiality over. So if you favor the rich over the poor, you are judging the one who is poor. And that is judging with evil thoughts. God does not judge his people whether or not they are rich and poor in money. Judgment is based upon righteousness alone, by faith in Yeshua. And he goes on to say, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith? And he talks about how dangerous the rich man is and how they will oppress those who are under them. So he's saying, you are showing partiality to a person who actually does not love you. And it's also interesting that he goes on to say that we have been instructed to love your neighbor as yourself. You're doing well, okay? But if you show partiality, you are committing sin. So James is telling us right here in the scripture that if you show partiality, you are not loving your neighbor as yourself, and you are transgressing the law. So not even just transgressing the law when it comes to the Torah, but if you want to sit here and say, well, I've been commanded to love God and love people, to love my neighbor as myself, well, if you're showing partiality, if you're breaking this Torah commandment, James is laying it out right here. You are breaking the commandment of loving your neighbor as yourself. You cannot show partiality and love your neighbor as yourself, because no person who loves himself desires for people to show partiality towards him. They want to be treated fairly. And so our desire should be to treat everyone else fairly and righteously. When you show partiality, you are not judging righteously. You're not judging based upon how God would desire us to love people and to judge people, or how we are to see people. Let's go to Exodus chapter 21 and verse 28. And if an ox gores a man or a woman to death, the ox shall surely be stoned, and its flesh shall not be eaten. But the owner of the ox shall go unpunished. If, however, an ox was previously in the habit of goring, and its owner has been warned, yet he does not confine it, and he puts a man or a woman to death, the ox shall be stoned, and its owner shall also be put to death. So what this command is saying is, if an ox kills a man or a woman, it's the first time it has ever gored a man or a woman, and this person is killed, then the ox is stoned, and it shall not be eaten. Okay, it is put to death, but the owner of the ox will not be punished. Okay, so he was not punished because the owner had no warning. He has no idea that this animal would do this or behave in this manner. So he is not punished. But we see here in the second verse that if this ox has previously gored people, so here's a guy, an owner, who has an ox who has injured people in the past, but it has not killed anyone. And this owner is aware that this ox, or you could say any animal that they own, we're going to get into the idea behind this, the spiritual meaning behind this. If this ox has done harm in the past, but he has chosen not to do anything to protect people from this animal that shows it is dangerous, because if it is bringing harm unto people, it is dangerous. And if he's not doing anything to protect people from this animal by confining it, by putting limitations on this animal so it cannot hurt someone and it kills someone, then both the animal and the owner shall be put to death. So now the owner is held responsible for what the animal has done. And the reason why is because he has chosen to ignore the bad behavior that this animal had. Because if the owner loved his neighbor as unto himself, his desire would be to protect his neighbor, to protect those who are around him. So he would do things, set things in place, confine the animal so that the animal cannot cause any more harm. So in not confining the animal and not taking steps to limit and stop this animal from this behavior, he is not showing love unto his brother. He has failed in the command of loving your neighbor as unto yourself. So part of our motivation and loving our neighbor as ourself is this concept of being aware of what we are doing, being aware of even our animals, because it's interesting, this law even plays into effect in our civil society when it comes to animals, okay? No, owners aren't put to death, but owners can be held responsible for an animal that has a history behind it if they have chosen not to do anything with that animal. But if we're loving our neighbor, we will have a desire to do things and to confine and protect people who are around us, whether it's not necessarily an ox, it can be from our animals, it can be from our pets, and it can also be just in the things that we do, that we do not intentionally do things that would bring harm unto our neighbor. And we're going to see that here with this next passage as well. Exodus chapter 21 and verse 33. And if a man opens a pit, or if a man digs a pit and does not cover it over, and an ox or a donkey falls into it, the owner of the pit shall make restitution. He shall give money to its owner, and the dead animal shall become his. So now we're seeing the instruction regarding a pit. So this is speaking of if a man goes out into the field and he digs a pit and he just leaves this pit open, he does not put a lid over the top of it, which is a dangerous situation. Because number one, this is talking about if an ox or a donkey falls into it, what if a person was to fall into it? So now we see that the owner has to make restitution if he digs this pit and someone else's animal falls into this pit. Okay. And so, again, this is speaking of how we need to be aware of our behavior, the things that we are doing, and are we doing things that create a dangerous situation for somebody else? We don't just go and dig a pit and a trap and leave it there for someone else to come and fall into it, because we are setting up a dangerous situation for somebody else. But we are to take the initiative by loving our neighbor, and we are to cover the pit. We are to take steps to make sure that what we have done does not provide or create a dangerous situation for somebody else. So we go a step above, put a cover over the lid so that nobody would get hurt. We have a desire to protect people. We think about what we're doing. We think about our actions. And we have a desire to protect our neighbor and our brothers. That's what it means to love your neighbor as unto yourself, because you're thinking about this way. Would I want to be walking through a field and fall in a hole? Would I want my donkey or my ox to be walking through a field and to fall into a hole? No, I wouldn't. I would want somebody to do something to prevent that from happening. So by loving our neighbor, we do that as well. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 4. If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey wandering away, you shall surely return it to him. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying helpless under its load, you shall refrain from leaving it to him. You shall surely release it with him. So here we see the idea that if you see your enemy, so now the scripture is bringing in your enemy. So if you see your friend, ox or donkey, wandering away, you are to return it. But not only are you to do it for your friend, but you are to do it for your enemy as well. You know, I remember hearing the phrase, you know, finders, keepers, losers, weepers. That is not loving your neighbor. if you lost something, you would want somebody to return it if they found it. So it's taking that same concept that when we find something, we make an attempt to return it and find the person it belongs to. That is doing good unto your neighbor. That is loving your neighbor as unto yourself. And as we see here in the command, it's not just unto a neighbor, but it's also unto your enemy. Even if your enemy's donkey is wandering away, you return it to him. If you see his donkey helpless under its load, you help him out. That is showing love. You help out those who are in need, even if it's your enemy. You know, we are told to bless our enemy. Yeshua even goes on to make the distinction. The world loves those who are their friends. It's very easy for you to love those who are your friends. What the world does not do is love their enemy. What they do not do is treat their enemy as they would like to be treated. They do not love their enemy as they love themselves. And so that is one of the biggest things that's going to set us apart. As I went through these lists of commands, there are more. These are just the ones I picked out. And we see the example as I went through them of how all of these things easily and simply point to the concept and the fact of how he was instructing us to show good unto our neighbor. These are not evil things that he is instructing us to do. They're not burdensome things to do. They're actually things that should be very easy to do and to accomplish for one who is filled with the love of God, has a desire to show good unto his brother. But the thing that's going to set us apart from the world is whether or not we can do these things when it comes to our enemy. Can we love our enemy? Can we bless our enemy? Because the Torah also talks about not to take revenge. So we are not instructed to take revenge upon our enemy, but we are to show them love. And by showing them love, we are heaping coals, burning coals on top of their head. So we are allowing the righteous judge, Yahweh, to render his judgment. That is what we have been called to do. We have been called to love our neighbor, to love our enemy, to bless our enemy, not to take revenge, not to be revengeful, but allow the righteous God to render righteous judgment at the righteous right time. If we get involved, it will not be done righteously. It will not be done right. So we allow him to do those things. So if we can just focus on loving our neighbor, and as we read through his word, we're looking and we're desiring to see how his word is instructing us and telling us how to love our neighbor. How do I put these concepts in place in my life? What is he teaching me? And the main concept behind these things when it comes to the pit and the animal, it's not so much about the letter of it, because yes, we aren't to dig a hole for someone to fall in and leave it uncovered. But there's more to it than that. It's teaching us to desire to do good to our brother and to watch what we do and to not do something that is harmful unto our brother. And if you truly love your brother, this isn't a burden. It's not a burden to want to do good unto your brother. It's not a burden to not want to set a trap for your brother. If you love your brother, the desire should be there to protect your brother. Because you don't want somebody to build a trap for you. You don't want somebody to trap you. So if you're loving your brother as unto yourself, you should have a desire to protect your brother, not trap your brother. Well, hallelujah. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So come back now, and shalom, y'all. Scripture quotations taken from LSB, Legacy Standard Bible, copyright 2021 by the Lockman Foundation, used by permission, all rights reserved, managed in partnership with 316 Publishing Incorporated, lsbible.org, and 316publishing.com.